When I hear people saying we need to set back up our own banks, the question I keep asking is, who will we correspond with? Because that's how the banking system works.
Yes.
And if the banks you correspond with do not like the rules under which you operate, they isolate you and shut you down, and you won't be able to operate a bank. Because here's what will happen. Auntie Jean in New York will want to give you $100. If Auntie Jean goes to First Citizens Bank of wherever she is in New York and says, give my nephew in Barbados this $100 here for me, the first thing they will ask is his bank a correspondent of ours?
Yes.
If his bank is not a correspondent of ours, they will tell you, we can't send him the money. Right? And if you, the correspondent banking laws is where the bugbear comes, right? Because of most of the banks deal with one another. Swiss Bank Corporation have accounts in international money markets in Toronto. International money markets in Toronto have correspondent banks in Asia and all over the place. Okay? And it is when you don't have the avenues to let money flow through that you run into problems. What is happening with banks in Barbados is a deregulatory central bank control correspondent bank issue. So it's a multiple problem that won't be solved by one single action. And as long as we have international banks operating under international laws and the central bank cannot control what they do or how they do it, we will have this problem, sir.
But Dennis, here the irony. Mm-hmm. Getting back to the driver's license.
Tell me about the driver's license. Because that is very funny.
Now, the bank has took a position that a driver's license cannot form part of any presentation of identification as a means to have any transaction in relation to the changing of a check. But this is the irony, and the guy chuckled when I said it. I said, now, if I had came into the bank, jump over the counter and leave behind my driver's license, will you pass the driver's license over to the police as part of the evidence
that you've left behind? And he said,
yeah. Will you? Because the irony again, right? Because there was sometimes the same Royal Bank in circumstances where when I presented the driver's license, I didn't realize that the driver's license was expired.
Mm-hmm.
And the young lady told me that she could not have cash. I said, but ma'am, listen, the photo, the person standing in front of you
is the photo.
And the photo and this, are they the same individual? Yes. I said, so what's the difference? It is not a valid driver's license since it is expired. Something is wrong. I can't put my hands on it, but something is magically wrong. Because had I leave that stand, driver's license expired or not behind,
they would find you.
They would find me. Yeah. It would be used as a means to find the perpetrator.
They will check the number. They will check the date of issue and expired or not. If the databases if the database at the licensing office is working, they could find your address, and I'm sure they would find you. Look, sir, I have had the misfortune of being asked to produce two pieces of identification, and I asked why. Was one not enough? They could not answer me. And when I asked what was the second piece of identification, because if I presented my passport, it would have the NIS number, the ID number on it, my NIS card has my ID number on it as well. They asked me if I had a Price Smart card. So a Price Smart card is better than a driver's license. I don't know. Here is the thing. To me, a rule must make sense. If a rule does not make sense, then enforce. Let me tell you again. Let me just share an outer school banking story, right? And how rules sometimes get bent and twisted out of shape until it becomes stupid. At one point in the banks, there were these things called reasons for a loan, okay? And funds were ascribed to various reasons for a loan. It was done so that you could figure out how to get a quick return on long-term deposits. So if you had a deposit, let's say a fixed deposit for over 10 years of $5 million, you try to lend out, that's when you used to lend to make up, you try to lend out on that $5 million loans that will come back in within 3 years before the five-year period on the long-term deposit, you know, runs out, right?
Right,
good.
Right.
So you had categories of loans. So people would come in for car loans, and car loans would, the amount ascribed to car loans would get used up quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And home improvement loans would be sitting there for a long while.
Right.
So you would refuse a guy a car loan, tell him you can't get a loan to buy your $10,000 car because car loan category used up. Man would go back and come back and tell you, I come to change the windows on my grandmother's house. It can cost $10,000. I could get a loan for home improvement. Of course. So then the banks turn around and say, no, we ain't giving you the check. Bring a letter from Manning or invoice from, you know, X and Y Construction, and we can make the $10,000 check payable to X and Y Construction. Now, if you're X and Y Construction, you my friend, what happened? You're still, you know, I gave $500, and I go and buy my car for $9,500. Rules have to make sense, or else people can take advantage of it and do foolishness. I just say it.
You know, I would just hope that the Royal Bank will reconsider the position as it relates to this. Because
maybe they don't want customers, I don't know.
It does not make any sense, and all it seek to serve to do is to confuse the ordinary flow of business. You understand? So reaching out to the business community and telling them this does not make any sense. Because one-off customers, a one-off person who have been paid with a check by your client, you understand me, are the ones who will be disadvantaged. And not only that, the bank is promoting that you don't walk around with cash.
Cash,
you,
yeah.
This card,
plastic card, yeah.
Card,
yeah.
Card. Yeah. How do you, in the face of promoting these things, don't shut out a person who's not a customer of your branch, who is in possession of a check that is your branch, it belongs to your branch. It doesn't make any sense.
So as I said, it don't make sense to me either, but I know how it is. Thanks for the comment. This is Down to Brass Tacks. You know, 4341790. You can also reach us via WhatsApp at 266-IVOB. You can send your message there. Somebody sent me a WhatsApp message saying, you failed to answer the customer's query. His problem was not being able to cash the check drawn on Royal Bank at the Royal Bank. The question remains, why the refusal to cash checks drawn on themselves? Now, how am I supposed to answer why Royal Bank not doing what they're doing? I outlined to the gentleman why they should. I can't tell somebody why a bank not doing what he thinks they're supposed to do. Sometimes I think people are unreasonable. I really don't get it. But that person has taken me to task already for not answering questions in the way they want me to answer it. So I have a simple solution. David Ellis, 430-7300 is the number, or you can reach him at davidellis@starcomnetwork.net. It would give him an extra moderator. It would give my voice a rest, and it would give you a rest from hearing my voice. Nice, easy. Brass Tacks, good afternoon.
Dennis.
But, you know, I tell you the truth. Eh? Nobody can pay me to do this job. I serious.
Oh,
you know, if there was another legal way to make money, perhaps I would try. What's on your mind, my friend?
Boy, a very good morning to you.
To you too. I'm doing all right, except for right, once or twice when I just shake my head at nonsense.
You got to shake your head, my brother.
That's why I laugh, because if you don't laugh, you'll cry.
I don't know how you could direct a bank.
But I look at where I sit in there, ain't nothing I can do from here.
Exactly.
I don't even work in it anymore.
You know, on the last occasion we spoke, I say to you, I wonder which direction the banks are going. You remember? The direction which they're going. And from the complaint, you can see clearly that they really don't want customers.
Well, I think they're moving to, I don't know if they're moving to only large clients, business oriented, because the move is almost to remove over the counter transactions.
Exactly.
Because I think it started, I saw online in Trinidad, reading the newspapers, that they started charging you for making a deposit to your account over the counter. And my query to one of my colleagues down there, or one of my former colleagues down there, was this, because he's left the banking system too. I said to him, so if I have a $20 check and your charge is $5 to put it on my account, what sense it make? You must get to a stage where the cost of the check, the cost of depositing the check equals the amount on the check, and then it don't make sense. You know, and that's why I made the comment that sometimes a rule does not make sense. It just don't make sense when you look at it.
Well, the thing about it, Dennis, look, I have three things I want to discuss with you. Mm-hmm. But before I get into that, there's a word called problems. You know why there are problems?
No, why?
Huh?
Why? No.
Well, as far as it's concerned, because the rules and the regulations are not implemented. And in most cases, most people don't have the guts to say that it's wrong. Now, I listen to you.
That's why? Okay.
I see, so. Because I was there listening to you over the years, Dennis. I find you to be a very upright, fair, and a strong man. Right? And I appreciate you a lot.
Why, thank you, sir.
You're welcome. The thing about it, right, is that lots of people, I find, they're scared. And by doing so, then a lot of problems are created all over. Anyhow, let me get started on my points. I heard this morning you were discussing the situation at White Hill with a lady. Mm-hmm. Say that they're starting the repairs of the roads and that kind of stuff. And I felt good. I said, good, these two will get some relief now. But one concern, because I placed a visit sometime back, I went down there, look at it, study it. I'm not an engineer. And people hear my voice, he always wants to, he always knows everything. It's not that I know everything. I know some things. But I hope that the ministry, along with the engineers and the whole group, are setting about to do White Hill, to repair White Hill, in a manner where the next 20 years we can still have a White Hill. And I'll tell you why I say that. I've seen for too many times there you just go and start repairs, road surface, remove, do some blockage and repave and everything, and in a matter of 2 years, all damage again.
Mm-hmm.
We have some money.
But sometimes the reason why it falls apart is important to know as well, because sometimes it's the weight, frequency of use, poor maintenance, or sometimes a poor, you used to, as far as I know, you know about foundations. So if the foundation wrong, sooner or later the top will go. And I think that has happened a lot in some of the areas.
The lady was saying water. Water might be part problem.
Part of it,
problem.
Yeah. But the structure is...
soil erosion.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I went to White Hill and I studied, look, there's soil erosion, there's pulling, there's undercurrent, there's a lot of things going on at White Hill. I would say that I would want to call. I met with a gentleman from the Scotland district who was in areas of doing maintenance down there. He said, man, you got some brilliant ideas, but I would not put the mood on there. I would much prefer to meet with someone. Mm-hmm. Because in Trinidad, which you know, blocking mountain site is not easy, Dennis.
Mm-hmm. They have a lot of flooded areas too. There are a lot of areas that are underwater.
White Hill's a piece of cake. All right,
don't say so yet. Don't say so yet. You didn't know what running underground. You see, the difference between Trinidad and Barbados, and that's why I don't like transferring one set of ideas to another, is Barbados is a coral island. Trinidad is not.
Clear.
So that's why I go back to the foundation. Mm-hmm. What you're building on, even though you may be building on a mountainside, that there is land slippage.
Right.
You have to know the topography of the area and what's the rock structure. But if you look at Trinidad again, you'll find areas, since you know there well. You see, you take Maraval as an example. Maraval has land slippage from time to time. But if you look at the Lady Young Road, the Americans built the Lady Young Road in Trinidad, and that was one of the best maintained roads for a long, long while. No matter how many rocks fall across the road, a bulldozer come and move it one side, and the road straight to go. You ain't going to do nothing with the road because of the way it was built. It was built almost like they were building a runway up that hill. That is just a fantastic piece of engineering.
Yeah, but,
you know,
yeah.
It's a different type of road on both hilly areas. It's just a different type of road.
There are different types of things, implementations they can do in building. So you have to first, like you rightfully said, look at the area and then design or put in place what you'll do.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Now, you talk about derelict vehicles. And, you know, for some time, you hear about the ministry going around and these derelict vehicles, the MOH.
Mm-hmm.
The derelict houses. But I want to say clearly today, I am not going to put pressure on this new administration. But I would say that clean your house first, along with cleaning someone else. Now, let me explain. As you go into the many departments of the ministries, I used to the derelict vehicles. As you go into different areas of the derelict office spaces and what's not, just lying idly by for years, and I could tell you for years. I'll give you an example. Right there by Jimmett's Lane, there is a whole section in ministry. I have vehicles there. I want to approach someone and ask if I can purchase one. You'll have to go to the finance department.
Mm-hmm.
All right. But I get to the finance department. It was over 7 years ago, you know. The vehicle's still there. Then I went to the department. Oh, you have to go up to this department. Then I went to this department. Oh, the papers at the MTW. Then I go there. I said, wait, we're going to do all this to buy a vehicle that is.
Yeah, because they got to certify they derelict. They got to certify that the depreciation is now whatever they want to charge you for. So let me tell you something. Haywoods, I could tell you about Haywoods. Haywoods had a tractor and a Toyota Hiace van sitting down in the workshop with grass growing out of it from the days of Copthorn. And Copthorn came and went. Interim came and went. Windham came and went. And eventually when they decided to clear it out, they still had to get, because remember Haywoods was originally a government-owned thing that was managed. They still had to go through all that hoop before they could sell them as even scrap iron.
But 7 to 10 years, Dennis?
Yeah, it was about that, because I spent 5 years down there. It was there for all that time. So it was there before. It was there before I was there. It was derelict, I was told, before I got there. And I spent 5 years there. Yeah.
All right, then.
So it must have been there for about 10.
It tells me that somebody is not really doing what they're supposed to do. And that's why I say we have problems. You're not implementing the rules and the regulation. Because as far as I'm concerned, the vehicle is down, the work is done. Hey, it's no use, get it out. Move on. But 10 years? Now, give me a break. No. they have something that I am concerned about. And it may sound strange. Old people in this country. I drive around. I am seeing a lot of elderly people on the streets. And to me, they need help. Someone will come and say, what did they do in their youthful days that would cause them to be on the streets at this hour? I am not interested in what was done in the youthful days. I am saying that we have departments here. I think we should start looking around and see where we can assist and help some of these old individuals. You know, against the weather, it pays when I see them in the sun. I'll give you an example. Just outside of the library, as I go into town when I'm doing my business and what's not, there's an elderly gentleman there in the sun all day, and he's holding an umbrella. Dennis, you ever hold an umbrella for 15 minutes?
So with my condition, I won't be able to hold it sometimes for 5 or 10. But let me say to you, if you follow Ninja Man comments that he's been putting forward since he has been incarcerated, the man says he does not like being inside. He wants to be outdoors. There are people who, because of whatever it is, they don't like being indoors. They just feel claustrophobic. They feel trapped. And some of them need assistance, but getting to them and getting them the assistance may not be as easy as you think it is.
I know that, Dennis. But at the same time, like the gentleman said, I said, why are you here in all this sun with this umbrella holding? He said, my eye is suffering and nobody will help me.
Help. Well, so you see, and again, that's why I made the comment that when someone had talked, I think it was yesterday, talking to Mr. P, I said that people who work in the organizations that help offer assistance, government assistance, you have to have people who are empathetic, and you have to have a little bit of people's skills sometimes, because people who are in need sometimes don't want to ask for help because they're stripped of everything but the little self-respect, and they're afraid, or it's a humbling experience for them to say, I can't afford to make it. So a lot of people who beg, right, are not people who are at the last stages. The people who usually are at the last stages of destitution are ashamed to beg because everything else has been stripped away from them. They've lost their sense of dignity. They've lost their sense of who they are, what they are, and they are pretty close to, you know, the edge, and they would not like people to know that. It's difficult. So I know, I see it from time to time. I see some young people, some not so young people, and you ask yourself, how did it get to this? But, you know, you can't answer it. To my caller who made the comment about Four Hill in St. Peter, we got a call from Joanne, and she said they are investigating it, and hopefully they will fix the issue that you raised, sir, and that the people will have some relief. So they are monitoring us, and we thank them. Brass Tacks, good morning. All right, that person will not be able to get in because we should soon be going to the regional roundup, John tells me, and we're just about a minute or so away. You wouldn't like to see the response I got to the WhatsApp message, right? It is unfortunate that when you sit and try to converse with people by telling them what you think and listening to what they say they think and having a conversation, that people arrive at the conclusions they arrive at. But, you know, it's the way we are. Anyway, thank you for your contributions thus far on the Wednesday edition of Dr. Brass Tacks. We'll continue with our conversations after these messages and the regional roundup, which comes your way shortly. Then we go tracking the latest, and we come back to your calls. Stay with us. This is the Wednesday edition of Dr. Brass Tacks, 434-1790. You can send a WhatsApp message to 266-IVOB, or you can send an email to brasstacks@starcomnetwork.net. The message says, good morning, Mr. Johnson. I went to a bank back in the 90s to borrow some money to buy a secondhand car. They told me no. So I went, got an estimate from a lumber company about 2 months later and told them I needed some money for house repairs. Got it in 2 weeks. I bought the car and put the rest on another account. See, that's what I mean. I know people did it. So there's someone who admits that that's what they did. And the other one says, banks in the U.S., I think the person is in the U.S., yeah, or cash check-in, Western Union, ask for 2 pieces of ID. Your driver's license, ID, or any card from a banking institution could be the second form of ID, or social security card, in order to send more than $890 and from $890 and up. And some even have you fingerprinted. And as I was saying earlier, all this is because of correspondent banking laws and money laundering laws. And once they're dealing in the system and it has to go through some other bank, in some cases, even if, let's say, they say the limit is $10,000, that over $10,000 you have to state the source of the funds. If you put $5,000, $7,000 in a 5-day period, one after the other, trust me, you're going to get flagged somewhere along the line, and somebody will call to check or ask you what's going on because of the way the regulations are. But it's talking to your customers, explaining why, and walking through the changes. I find communication is lacking, and you know, the comments you get sometimes is, well, we put up a sign, or you know, it was said, or somebody knows, and customers are upset. If you see the list of WhatsApp messages, over 30 about banking and people's experiences with it. We had a program. We invited a member of the banking community to join us on a Brass Tacks Sunday to look at the issue, and they sent a printed email message and did not come. Says what they think of the questions raised by their customers, I suppose.